I appreciate Larry filling in for me last week while I was gone, and we're going to begin in lesson two today without an outline. One of my technical difficulties, we're just going to go without an outline or PowerPoint, but we'll be for good today. One of the rare times that's happened to me, but like I say, I've had some things happen and do not have the outline. I do have it in here, but not for you guys. I want to talk to you today about the power of our thoughts. As we talk about healing a wounded spirit, when we speak of a spirit, we're really speaking of our heart. And it's really the collection of our thoughts of who we are. And could I tell you frankly, this is one of the greatest struggles we will face. We will never be over this process. We need to learn how to think. And we tend to, if we are not exposed to the nature of God and His Scriptures, we tend to go back to familiar patterns. Do you have struggles with fear? That'll keep coming back. Do you have struggles with worry? That'll keep coming back. Have struggles with anger? You know, we all have, how can I say, we know kind of how we're put together. Now, we're not pre-programmed and destined to go a certain path. What we find in Scriptures is that we can change our thinking. But changing our thinking, particularly when we may have been taught and developed in a certain way from our home and in our lives, is one of the greatest challenges we will face. And so as I talk of this material is very practical material. I've actually taught this material probably 100 times over the years in personal work studies. Sometimes before I can get someone to the point where they could rationally consider the gospel, I would talk to them first about how a biblical faith thinks and how faith in God will help you refocus your mind and how you deal and process circumstances and situations in your life. Let's just look at a few verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 context. We may just, I just want to make the point is that when we become a Christian, We begin our process of trusting God. We have God's fellowship. But what we do find is that the continual battle, and let's just look at verse 4. Here Paul's talking about how a teacher ought to function and the function of the teacher. But the goal of teaching and the goal of our life is that we've got to continually see God's thinking, God's way, and we've got to conform ourselves to it. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Let's just throw something out to you, just practical terms. Let's suppose we're Christian and we don't control our thoughts. Let's just go out here. Let's just throw out some of the possible dangers. If we don't control our thoughts, tell me some of the potholes or even ways of destruction. You can be destroyed if you don't. What are some dangers?
I'd rather stay home and watch something on TV than go to church.
Okay, so how would we describe that? Maybe as an indifference and not a fervency, kind of not seeing the importance or priority. Okay, that's one possible danger. I guess being sluggish, I think, as the Hebrew writer says.
Well, it's just not putting Christ first.
Yes, yeah, not learning true priority, yes. Other?
You know, God says as a man thinks in his heart, so is.
Yes.
Man. And so as we think, we are. The kind of person I could talk about in the heart. So if we don't control them, then we're a person without self-control. And they'll drift naturally to the old man.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the dangers? I'm trying to speak of the categories.
Bitterness.
Bitterness, anger. Yeah. Y'all heard me talk a lot about that. We're going to talk about that in this class.
Fear
is huge. That fact, I kind of know a little bit about my personality type, how I'm put together. My biggest struggle, you may not know this, would be fear. I have to have some tools from God's Word to learn how to deal with fear. What are some other?
Dishonesty.
Huh? dishonesty. Yeah, and sometimes that comes out of fear. Sometimes there's other motives by it. That it, you know, it could be pride. What are some others?
Hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy, which is a form of lie. You know, trying to appear for man one way and not concerned about God.
But I mean, even to the point to where you've convinced yourself that it's okay.
Self-deception.
Yeah.
Self-deception. Yes.
Wrongful desires.
Huh?
Wrongful desires.
Okay, right, right. Dealing with the lust of the flesh and again going to submitting to that. How about worry? None of you have problems. So I just wanted to lay out some of the groundwork here of the kind of struggles we will face. There's many other areas. We all have these struggles. And you identify yours. We need to identify how the scriptures say to deal with it and respond to it. It's interesting, if you look in the parable of the sower in Mark 4:19, you read about the cares of the world and sometimes that could be physical care, sometimes it can be worry, but it's dealing with those whom the seed comes, the plant resonates, the plant comes up, but it is choked because there's not a control of one's heart or spirit. So I'm going to touch on worry, and then I'm going to talk about the fundamental basis of our study today is I want us to learn how to start where we are and to understand the process of what God gives and what we sometimes put on ourselves. But let's look at worry as an example. Matthew 6:25-27. Let's define worry, if we could. We do read about the anxiety is used here. Worry is used in the New King James. Matthew 6:25-27 as an example. It says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" So let's just look at this for a moment. What is worry? Let's first got to define what worry is. Worry.
Anxiety.
Okay, anxiety. Develop it a little further. Because, I mean, should we have cares about things? You've got children, you've got cares. You've got a job, you've got cares. But what's worry here? Something not to do. Yes.
Yeah, think of it as the perspective of the unknown. Because I know every time it seems that I worry about something, it's only because I don't know what I don't know, right?
Yeah.
I think of Elijah when he ran from, it's early, what's her name?
Jezebel.
And he goes to the cave thinking that he was the only one. And he was the only one in Israel. And God reassures him of the thing that he didn't know, that there were more. Had more faithful in Israel. And he relieved that concern and sent him back into the work.
Okay. Worry, in this case, we still have to find it, although it's anxiety. And you pointed out one way to solve worry is knowledge. By the way, let me point this. There's an element when you talk about having a burden or having a care, there is a place that is right. Let me put it this way. One of the worries that I have, or I say that in not a simple way, but for my children, I've had some children who have feared nothing. Have you had some of those kind of children? You know, and one of the things you want to teach them is there is a place for proper fear. There's a place to be concerned, you know, that that's part of life. If you go walk in the woods at night, and there's no light and you hear growling, you ought to have some concern about that. That's not sinful or wrong. And so there's a place for the unknown. If you don't have knowledge, it's not necessarily sinful to have a reaction to what am I dealing with. But now, what is worry in a bad sense? Let's define it a little more. It's care. It may be involved with fear. But how is it bad? Tell me the element here
We are worry is that which we should not have in our life.
It takes the focus off of God and puts it on ourselves.
Yes, that's the point. That's going to be the point of all of this. There is an approach that Jesus will teach us that we have to be like a bulldog and not let our hearts run away with us and not let us jump to all these conclusions, create a false reality. There is a way of thinking. So now let's look at this.
Let's look at how Jesus in Matthew 6, and I'll show you the thing that's going to be the overall focus of our entire class is, okay, how do I think about a matter? What's my mental process when I'm dealing with an emotion, I'm dealing with a circumstance? Who would like to read Matthew 6, 25 through 27? Matthew 6, 25 through 27. Okay.
Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?
Now, it's interesting here. There's a worry we can discard. Now, is it saying here, don't worry, be happy. Somebody will pay for all your food and take care of you. Well, it's saying God will take care of you. But there's more scripture. You'll find that God will take care of you by you providing for your family or for you praying to him when you do your best. You're going to find a realm in which, yes, there's a responsibility which ought to have a burden that you take care of in God's way. The focus is God's way. The focus is, first off, God knows you. And you yield your life to him and seek his wisdom, he will take care of you. And that's really good to know. Sometimes, like Abraham and having a child, had the promise to have a child, knew God's going to take care of it, but kind of like, God, how are you going to do this? You know, we need to have the overall view that God is in control, like we talked about in lesson one. And then the next thing we need to do, Lord, what do I do? Let me give you a verse, and this is a big, big, big one. Big one. Matthew 11 and verse 28. What we're trying to get to, and this is really going to be the theme of the whole class, is learning to identify our emotions, identify what God says, and identify what God wants us to do. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I know most of you could quote this, but this is still a verse that I think we all will struggle with at times. Who could read Matthew 11, 28 through 30? Okay, Larry.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and are gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Okay, let's go from the end of this. If we follow this verse, what will we find? What will we find here?
An easier life.
Peace? Rest for your soul? Could we say our wounded spirit could be healed? We're talking about events. God has a place to heal us and help us. And so, okay, God is in control and God wants to take care of my problem. Now, that's all I need to do is believe that and then it's done, right?
No.
No. What else do we find in this verse? What you're going to find here is, here's what God says he'll do. Now, what do we need to do?
What he says.
Come
to him.
Come
to him.
Come, and then what else?
Take his yoke. Take his yoke.
Take his yoke, and what else?
Learn.
Learn. All right. We need to develop a core set of thinking, and sometimes we may have to reprogram ourselves as to how we face different things. And sometimes you say, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. It is. And some of us can get caught, and all of us really, I struggle with them all, we get caught in what I call patterns of failure. We do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, and guess what we do? We get the same results.
And we don't understand that God has a way to help us to overcome. I've got a list of common problems that people get themselves into because of their thoughts. How about this one? Isolating themselves from others. Those who struggle with their emotions, depression. I'm not saying all depression is always a product of faulty thinking. I think there's physiological causes. I've actually experienced that once. It's kind of interesting. But I do believe that dealing with depression, there are things that we can, tools that we can bring in to teach us. How about somebody living in the past? How about somebody fearing improvement? How about someone who's always suspicious of others and trusts no one? They tend to not have relationships. How many more patterns can you identify? Okay, you know, having a problem is one thing. But then refusing to trust God and learn from Him and how to change, well, that's another thing. We all come from where we come from. The homes we've come from, the things that we've experienced, the relationships that we've had. You know, we can't change past. We can't change others. But we can learn. And so the first thing that I would say, start where you are. Every one of us has got our own unique set of circumstances. Can you first see yourself clearly and say, hey, here are the things I need to work on? Then go and turn to the Lord and learn how to do that. Now, big area this morning.
Be the major focus of lesson two. And that is, learn to accept the things you cannot change. Can somebody give me a verse on that? Anybody know a book, chapter, and verse on learning to accept the things you cannot change? Well, you don't. You basically see Matthew 11 where Jesus says, learn from me. You know, you would see that God. But let me give you some verses that I think is good. I think 2 Corinthians 4, I believe, is what I want. Let me double check in my outline. 2 Corinthians.
First we were in chapter 6 of Matthew and verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?
Yes. Yeah. That's understanding, you know, how things can change or things you can't change. Yeah. Worry certainly is not going to be the answer. 1 Corinthians 4, I'm sorry. Here we go. First Corinthians 3, I'm sorry, this is a little unorganized this morning. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 7, who would like to read that? You may say, I want to show you, this is a good example. There's other examples we can get. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 7.
What then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believe, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes.
Let me tell you, this is a very, very practical verse to me. And this was one that I did not understand fully when I first started preaching. I used to have a misconception. Now, if you'd rather have this conception, you know, remember first I started preaching, you know, some people think, well, the church grows, then that's because of the good work of the congregation, but if the church is not growing, that's false preaching. Yeah. Sometimes there are interesting ways that people think about these things, but I'm very interested in growth, not for personal pride. But, you know, it's a valuable thing to play a part in the building up of the life of another person and becoming a Christian and growing as a Christian. What are our limits? See, I used to have the idea I can make somebody be a Christian. I can make somebody be faithful. And I'm going to come back to that thought. What does this verse say? Let's see, what was Paulus' job?
in this verse.
Tending the fields already planted.
Huh?
Tending the crops already planted.
Yeah, yeah. What was Paul's job?
He's the planter.
Paul planted, Paul is in
water.
Now, as an evangelist, what's my job?
Spread the word.
Teach
the word.
Teach it effectively. Be the best teacher you can. Try to identify problems and identify the word. But the major thing that I am to do is to plant or water. Who gives the increase?
God does.
You see, the problem we face many times in life is that we take on things because we are convinced we can do something. And we get ourselves into more trouble and needless self-pain when we do this. And I catch myself doing this a lot. And I got to think through it, so I don't stay on it.
As we talk about this, let me give you an example for me.
Okay. And you may disagree with me on some of these illustrations, but I can remember when I was at a congregation in Birmingham, we had 20 or 30 baptisms in a 2-year period. I think some of those baptisms were premature, but I think there were some that were solid. But I got myself, I would come to services and I'd look out and we'd have a building full, and you know what I would see? The empty seats. Somebody's not here. And I can remember just feeling terrible about it. Again, having a concern for another, that's okay. If somebody's not doing spiritually, that's a burden. That's an okay burden within limits. But you know what I started to do? I've got to remember, I'd get home first and I'd call that person up. And I called them and talked to them, and there's nothing wrong with that per se. Nothing wrong with that. But then they stopped taking my calls. So you know what I did? I went and found their trailer. And I drive around their home and they're not taking my call. And then I go knock on their door. And what I realized in this situation, and again, I'm telling you from my mind standpoint, it's not wrong to do any of those things. But I had made it my determination to make them do right. And what I needed to do, and what I did in this case, I about drove them crazy till I realized that what I needed to do was I needed to plant in water, and sometimes there's some time that needs to be taken. No, yes, if they were unfaithful, we should eventually withdraw from them and do those things if necessary. But what I was trying to do was force a situation and not use wisdom and take time. Do you understand what I'm saying? No step that I took was necessarily wrong. But I was going to be determined, you're going to grow. You're going to grow right now. You're going to grow at the pace that I want you to grow at. And see, that was going to burn me out. It would drive me crazy. Now, maybe that illustration is not significant for you. Let me let you give me some. What I was doing is I was stepping beyond what I should do, and I was, I think, taking God's side. How do we do that in areas of life? Let's name some things we cannot change. Let's name some things in life we cannot change. This is really, really, really big. What are the things that bother you the most, that create your emotional turmoil, or things you think you need to learn of? What are some things that we find ourselves often caught up in when it's not our issue to conquer? I'm going to give you one because this is the biggest one. Okay? We can't change another person against their will. Now God's got a powerful word that can. Okay? And we can teach that word and try to get that will changed. But you know one of the things I do commonly? I used to think, I'd be like, I'm going to make somebody do this. I'm going to make somebody go the direction. And I take it on as my own personal responsibility. By the way, in your marriage, you're going to need to learn this too. If you're dealing with relationships, you have limits that God has given you, planting and watering, so to speak. If a person changes, and they change in a good way, why should they change? Because because of God's word and because of their relationship with God and their choosing. If you don't learn this, you'll make a mess. You can make a mess of your home. You can make a mess of your relationships. That's going to be a major factor as we talk in this class. And it's people. It's people. How many times have you had a relative or a loved one and you want them to go down a certain path? Before God, what should we do? If we want somebody to change, let's talk about the wisdom that God gives. Before we go into the battlefield, what do we need to be thinking? I want somebody to change, but God has given me the responsibility of what?
Planting
and watering the word of wisdom. And when I do what I can do, what do I do next? When I do what God has told me to do, what do I do next?
Pray.
You pray. You wait. You have confidence in God's path. And you see, some of us, and me being one, I want results, and I want results right now. And God says, okay, here's what I want you to do, Larry. Now, you do that. And I'm going to work with this one. You give that to me. Wisdom here. The biggest challenge we will face. There are times, I know, I don't hope this is not our list, but there are times, you know, you're dealing with in-laws and outlaws, and, you know, when it comes to family relationships, and, you know, you talk to them, you do what you can. And you leave it between them and God. There are times I see loved ones and they don't want to talk to me. Oh, they don't want, no, they don't want to hear from me. Okay, they can cut me off. And sometimes I'll go, well, you know what? Life will beat it out of them, maybe. There are sometimes you've got to sit back and watch the car go off the ledge and crash, and maybe hoping the crashing and burning may bring them to a different attitude, and then maybe you may play a role in helping. You may not. In order to help somebody, you got to have somebody open heart to you. You might have that opportunity, but oftentimes you do not. And so one of the things that I've tried to learn in life is see where a door is open, pray to God about that, work with those who are interested, and those that have got me shut down and they know what's right. And, you know, again, I'm speaking in general here. We can talk about specific situations in a local church or situations with somebody in another church or family that are not Christian. But the role in my life is, Lord, tell me what I can do. Let me do that. I'll pray for them. But I can't just take the whole world on my shoulders. Have I made that clear? Y'all understand? Do we need to clarify? As I'm trying to speak as a general principle, there's so many specifics we can look at with specific situations. But that's the big struggle in life. First thing that I ask when something bad happens is, Lord, is there something in this I can do something? What can I do? And what do I give God? This is the wisdom we'll use and we'll develop the rest of our lives. But you will not regret learning this. What happens if we don't learn this? Okay? What happens if we don't learn this? Let's say we're not going to do that. We're going to lower our head and grit our teeth, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to take on these burdens God hasn't given us. Tell me what happens next.
You mentioned burnout.
Oh, yeah. Tell me what happens. Somebody starts getting loads and burdens, unbearable burdens. What do they start doing? Different people react in different ways. So let's talk about some reactions. As you take on things you cannot change, what happens?
High blood pressure.
You start having physiological, yeah. Oh, that's very true. I've seen that with me. Yeah, I've seen that. What else?
Depression
for some?
Escapism.
You start isolating yourself or escaping. You know, if you start seeing your relationships go bloop, 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 and you're going down to this little hole where there's nobody in your life, you need to look. You need to think. Depression? Yes.
No, I was just saying that's the first bill. If you didn't.
Oh, okay. I had no idea. Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. Get into this here. But this, you know, let's make a list for the second bell. Let's just make a list real quick because I want to cover this today. Let's just make a list. They could be trivial or major. What are some things you cannot change? Let's make a list. You can't change another person gets their will. I'll put that up there. That's the biggie. What else can you not change?
The weather.
Can't change the weather. Yes.
You can't change the fact that life's not fair.
That's correct. Yeah. How is worlds put together? We talked about that in lesson one, didn't we? Why does suffering come? Innocent people suffer. And people who can't change do bad things to us, and we can't change them. Yes.
Life is full of good luck and bad luck.
Okay.
And just things just happen.
Sounds like Solomon in Ecclesiastes.
Along with not changing people, you can't change if someone you love did something that hurt you real bad. You can't change.
And we can't change the past. Okay? That's a big one.
Can't change God. He's unchangeable.
Yeah, that's right. Need to know His will. I'm going to tell you, there's a peace. There's a beautiful peace that comes when we learn this. And so I'm saying, you know, if we're, I'm not saying it's not, there are times you can be crying and struggling and have peace, okay? I'm not saying you become a Christian, oh, nothing's ever going to bother me again. That's not what we're saying. But I am saying that when we learn how to think and give the things of God that are God's and the things that God gives Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And many times, I tell you what I do. First, I'll get identified what I should give to God. And you know what I oftentimes do? At that background. Tell you that. Okay. I can make this change. And so, again, this is the battle of why I say that it's almost like a wrestling match. We got to, in every, that's the first question I ask when something happens. Okay, what can I do to change? Is there something I can do something about? And learn what that is. Accept that. Again, I know we can deceive ourselves here. I know sometimes there's some things we all do and we say, well, we just give it to God. So I know there's some, there's a process here. We really need to look at God's wisdom carefully. But this is the thrust of our study. Controlling our thoughts, learning to battle that area. Comments, general comments. So any other things, list of things you cannot change?
Let's see what I had on my list here. I think we
God's
had...
love for
us. Oh, that's right. God's love, yeah. Can't change the weather, the clock, the past, another person against their will. What is right? What is wrong? Death?
Can't change death? You know, in marriage, big, big factor in marriage. If you take the approach, you're going to be the parent in your marriage and you're going to force change. Again, I'm speaking generally here. You can make a great mistake. There's even a place here of giving your mate time to change and ways to change and understand how they go. Well, we may pick that up next time. And we are going to talk more about worry and some other areas. Thank you for your participation today.